Well, we're continuing with our series on living for God, and we are considering the topic of hospitality. And a slide is coming up. Today marks the first day when I'm trying to give hospitality to someone on my own. And the incoming president of the Baptist Union of Great Britain, Ken Benjamin, and his wife Sue are coming round for a meal, and this is what they're going to get: pizza and salad. Someone said to me, "You can't go wrong with M&S." I told them that as far as I'm concerned, there is a real possibility that things might go badly wrong. But this is an encouragement to you, and this, I hope, shows that anybody can give hospitality. If we just go on to the next slide, they're also going to get some banana bread. There it is. I can see on your faces that you are thinking, "He didn't make that." And I'm really shocked, I have to say. Of course, you're right. But that's not the point. You know, it's just possible that I have a hidden talent for doing this. This is from Heather McLean, who probably didn't think that her banana bread would be featuring at this point on a Sunday morning, but here it is anyway. So anybody can offer hospitality. This has clearly been on my mind, because in my first draft of this message, I realized that my second point was basically saying, "Please feel free to bring me food," which is still something that I'm very happy to share with you, but which probably doesn't get to the heart of the biblical text. And we need to get to the heart of this, because this is a really important theme in the Bible. I don't think we really realize how important this is, but shot through the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, hospitality is really important. Giving and sharing a meal, welcoming someone into your home, welcoming the stranger, welcoming the traveler, sharing and welcoming with others. And right throughout Scripture, it's there. If we think about the Gospels, then a very interesting way to think about the Gospels is to think about Jesus and his ministry, and to think that so often he is either on his way to a meal, or he's having a meal, or he's leaving a meal. If you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, especially with that point of view in mind, then again and again you see it. Hospitality is really important. If we truly want to live God's way, then giving and receiving hospitality is something that we need to reckon with. And so a few things about this vital and really very exciting subject. And we see that, first of all, God shows us amazing hospitality. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1, the word comes up, brothers. And in Greek, it's adelphoi. The word encompasses both men and women. So some translations legitimately, I think, talk about brothers and sisters. It captures the overarching meaning of the word. And in the Bible's world, it always referred to natural family before Jesus started using it in a different way. And Christians picked up in that. A first century Jewish person talking about adelphoi, talking about brothers, it would be blood brothers. It would be the natural family. And yet Jesus uses it in a different way, and the early Christians use it in a different way. It has a radical new meaning, and it refers to all of those who come to God the Father through Jesus the Son, by the Holy Spirit, all of those who have been adopted into the family of God. And so, speaking to these Hebrew Christians, our writer is able to say, brothers, adelphoi, we are all together part of God's family. You know, that's a wonderful thing and a wonderful truth for us to engage with. story of a young girl on a long-haul flight who was struggling with the turbulence and who was sick. She was physically sick, and she couldn't get to the sick bag, and it went all over her. And the flight attendants worked hard to clean it up, but as the plane was coming into land, she was sick again. And this time there wasn't much that they could do. Her father was meeting her from the flight, and eventually when she got through, she was tearful, she was dirty, she was smelly, and she ran to greet him. And he happened to have on his best white suit. And he had extended his arms in greeting, and suddenly he saw this disheveled, smelly, tearful, messy daughter coming towards him. And he thought about his suit, and for a second he drew back. But then he realized, no, I have to embrace my daughter. And he embraced her. And he took on himself all the mess and the sick and the tears, and he hugged her. The wonderful message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that with all of our wrongdoing, with all of our shame, with all of our mess, with all of that, the bad smell that there can be around us because we mess up so often, God has embraced us in Jesus and he has not hesitated. He has shown us wonderful hospitality. We are part of his family. And if you've not received this, if you've not experienced this for yourself, I encourage you just to reach out and to respond to the wonderful welcome that God gives and to come to Jesus as the one who saves you and your Lord and to be welcomed into his family. God has shown wonderful hospitality to us. And we've got the different languages that come up here. And we are all Adelphoi together. One of the reasons why sometimes people stick with the translation as brothers is that in the ancient world, sadly, it was the brother who was the heir. And what happens here is that with this wonderful word Adelphoi, it is spread out to others. Women and men together are fully part of the family of God. We are all Adelphoi together, and we are adopted into God's wonderful family, equal status. And so wherever you come from, you are an Adelphoi. If you have believed in Jesus, if you have come to God as Father, you may be sitting next to someone who is from a different country from you, a different culture, a different background. You may speak a different language as your first language, yet you are Adelphoi. You are brothers and sisters in Jesus. God has given us wonderful hospitality, and our hospitality is to reflect that. The love that he has put in our hearts is to spill over into others. This is the point. God has shown us hospitality, and we are to show that hospitality to others, liberally, abundantly, flowing out from us. May our hospitality be grounded in the wonderful hospitality that God has shown to us in Jesus. Second thing, therefore we should show hospitality to others. So the two things flow together. God has shown us hospitality, and we should show hospitality to others. And very practically, how and what and who? How are we to do this? What are we actually to do? And who are we to do it to? How, first of all? How in the sense of quality? And what we see here is that we are called to do this well. 1 Peter 4 and verse 8. Offer hospitality without grumbling. And actually, throughout those 1 Peter verses, we are called to use our gifts well. If someone is called to speak, they're not just to stand up and just to speak anything. They are to speak as someone who is speaking the very words of God. Don't just speak, but speak well. If someone is called to serve, don't just serve any old how, but serve in the strength that God gives. And if you are offering hospitality, do it without grumbling. Do it well. Why is grumbling put in here with hospitality? It seems a bit strange. Why would someone give hospitality and then grumble about it? In the Jewish world, then, hospitality was really, really important, and people were expected to give hospitality. There was quite a complicated code as to what you did, how you would welcome someone, how long someone would stay. And similarly, in the wider Roman world, Greek mythology was very important to many of the Romans. Zeus was the king of the gods, and he was the god of hospitality. And you were meant to give hospitality. It was part of the culture. It was part of the context. But because this was the expectation, it's easy to do it and you grumble. It's easy to do it and you do it resentfully, or maybe for fear of the gods or something like that. You do hospitality, but you just go through the motions. You do the bare minimum. And hospitality is encouraged, but the heart of hospitality is to be different. It is to be a hospitality that is without grumbling, that is joyful, that is flowing out in love to the people that we welcome and embrace. And that is the hospitality that the scriptures encourage and that God encourages us to give. And I do want to just urge us as a church to engage in this more and more. I think God is calling us to a building project, and a slide is coming up about that. God's building project for South Parade, not a bricks and mortar building project, I think. It's interesting to reflect on this, that wherever I have been a pastor, we have done a building project. So in Victoria, in Eastbourne, when I was the associate minister, as part of a team, we built a welcome centre, perhaps similar to the greenhouse that we have here over on my left, just to open out the building and make it more welcoming for people. In Shirley Soley Hull, we basically levelled the thing and started again, and we ended up with a sports hall and counselling rooms. We turned the worship area around, did all sorts of stuff. I don't sense that that's on God's heart for this particular church, certainly not here in Headingley. We have a good building here that we can use, and I think there are other priorities for the next phase of our life together. But we are called to be builders together. Not bricks and mortar builders, but those who will build close and strong relationships one with another. Those who will build bridges one to another. I want to encourage you to be involved in God's building program and to reach out to people, to do hospitality and to do it well. What are we to do? And I really want to make these things practical, these messages, and there's a whole range of ways that we can do this. One of the ways that we do this is through communion. As South Parade together this evening, we're going to be celebrating communion, and we're going to do it a little bit differently. I'm going to encourage people to come to the front to take the bread and the wine and then be in groups and just share together. And I know that's something that you've done before, and it's a wonderful way to actually share communion together, to share bread and wine. It's part of the hospitality of God that we have been left with this meal. Jesus wants us to remember him, and we remember him as we share bread and wine together. It's his table. He welcomes us to come. And we can reflect that welcome as we share with one another in communion. Student lunches are restarting today. If you're a student, I do commend them to you. They're over in the greenhouse on my left. And there's a real opportunity to cook and to share for those. Rooted, I know, if you want to cook a meal for Rooted, then people are very happy to receive that. Our work with homeless people on a Tuesday evening. And just giving a welcome to people. So just thinking about things that we might do as a gathered community. Welcome newcomers. Welcome strangers. Reach out to people who you don't yet know. It's about welcoming people into homes. It's about sharing meals. But it's broader than that. It's wider than that. It's being open. It's being hospitable. It is reaching out to people who are on their own, or maybe even just people who are in a group, reaching out with a heart of love. Small groups are also important. I've been meeting with Paul and talking about the small groups that we have, between 18 or 19 small groups. We can't work out quite what the right number is. It's actually encouraging. I think it's an encouraging number. It's more than I expected across the life of South Parade. So not just here in Headingley, but Crag and Connect and Sent as well. And I do want to encourage you, if you're involved in small groups, I know that many of you are, to press on with that and to really engage with that. And if you're not involved, here is a really, really good way that we can share with one another and go deeper. And finally, just the thing about sharing meals. And I want to encourage you so much. You've been so warm and encouraging to me, and I'm always getting invitations round to people's houses, and yeah, that's fantastic. Invite one another round to your home. Share meals. Share hospitality. We are the family of God together. And I do believe that God is encouraging us to keep going with some of those things, but also to deepen them. What does the text say? Keep on loving one another. Love one another deeply. So if you're doing this, keep going with it. Keep pressing on, loving people, reaching out to people, sharing with people. And if maybe that slipped for you, or you just sense that God is calling you deeper, then respond to that word. Love one another deeply. Let's share. Let's show hospitality to one another in a whole range of practical ways. And then the who. Who do we do this to? And of course it's to brothers, it's to Adelphoi, it's to one another, but it's also welcoming the stranger. Someone we're not sure if they're Adelphoi or not. We're not sure if they're part of the family of God or not. That lovely text in Hebrews. Do not neglect to entertain strangers, because by doing so, some have entertained angels unawares. I heard of a couple of guys who went to a church, and the message was like this one. It was on hospitality, it was on welcome, it was the text, angels unawares, and no one spoke to them after the service, and no one invited them round. And as they drove off in their car, they wound down the windows and sort of flapped their arms as if it was like an angel wing as they went past the building, just to make the point, you may have missed the opportunity here to entertain an angel. Let's not be like that here. You see someone who's on their own, go up and speak to them. Find out about them. Ask them who they are. Ask them about their interests. Be ready to invite them round, to care, to go deeper. In a larger church, you can't do this with everybody, but But let's be building relationships. Let's be building connections. And who knows how God will lead us forward. Going to read a story which is one of my favourite stories from church history as we bring this to a close. I've shared this with a number of you before, but there's a few reasons for bringing it back today. First of all, it's German, so we can do this in honour of Tobias, and it really relates to this theme of hospitality. It's 19th century, it's church history. But don't switch off, because it's wonderful, wonderful stuff. Johann Gerhard Onken. I don't know if Tobias has heard of him, but he is a German pioneer, a wonderful Christian guy who really got stuff going in Germany in the 19th century. A passionate evangelist, someone who loved God and loved people and had a heart for mission and wanted to get the gospel out. And he was a Christian, leader of a Baptist church at the time where there was significant persecution for Baptists in Germany. So the state church didn't like these other groups popping up. And he was persecuted because of his faith. He was imprisoned for 4 weeks. His family were harassed. Their property was confiscated. But he kept going. And he kept going, not in a sharp, angular way, but he kept loving people, kept reaching out. After a while, the persecution became a little less, and the church grew and was able to buy a brand new building. It was a granary on several floors. You might think about a warehouse church today. And the very week, this was in Hamburg in Germany, the very week that this new building was opened, they took possession of it. There was a fire in the city of Hamburg. Their own building was okay, but parts of the city were devastated. Many were made homeless. What are Onken and his congregation going to do? It would have been very, very easy for them to say, "We're not going to do anything for you. You have persecuted us. You have caused huge problems for us. This might be the judgment of God on you for what you have done to us. And so we are going to sit aloof from this and we're just going to let you get on with it." Could very easily have done that. Human nature would dictate that that is something that might happen. But what actually happened was very different. Onken offered the building to the authorities to accommodate those who were homeless. You can imagine this brand new building, although they converted it, fresh paint, nice and clean, and the church said to people, "Come on in. We know that you're homeless. We welcome you. We give hospitality to you." And about 80 people found food and shelter in the building for 8 months. And this is from the church meeting minutes. You might not think this is a very interesting thing to read, but listen to this. "Through the severe visitation of God to our city and the opportunity which the church was offered to give real proof of their love and sympathy, the authorities were disposed to treat the church less severely, and the persecutions were all but ended. When a mob attacked the church shortly after this, the authorities confirmed their friendly attitude towards us." And what happened was that some of the sufferers that the church took in began to attend the services. They weren't pressured to do so, but they'd been shown such love. They'd been given shelter. They'd been given food. They had been touched by God's love at a time when no one else was reaching out to them. They started to attend. What is it here that these people have which is different? And then, because the church had got this reputation for welcoming the outsider, the Gastarbeiter, the guest workers who came to the city to help rebuild it, mainly men, rootless men who went from place to place doing their work, they came to Hamburg and they heard about this church, and people started to come as well, and they heard the Christian good news and they turned to Jesus. 1 year, 273 baptisms. The next year, 322. The year after that, 380. And one report suggests that three quarters of those baptized into this church were traveling craftsmen or unskilled workers. The church had taken a decision, a costly decision, in some ways a bold decision, to reach out in hospitality, in love, in grace. They had sacrificed to welcome the outsider, and God blessed it abundantly. May we be people who reach out with a heart of love. May we show hospitality in ways large and small. May we reflect the great and wonderful grace that God has shown to us in Jesus. And as we do so, may we know the joy of God blessing us as we reflect his love, we reflect his gospel, and men and women, boys and girls, come to faith in Jesus and find here their family, a place to believe and also a place to belong. Let's be quiet for a moment or so as we just reflect on these things and we think about our own response to God's word this morning. After a while, I'll lead us in a prayer, but let's be quiet first of all. Father God, gracious God, thank you that you have given wonderful hospitality to us. Thank you that you've welcomed us. In the words of the Anglican Communion service, thank you that you have met us in your Son and brought us home. Such is your amazing love, and we pray that we would embrace this for ourselves, that we would receive your welcome, perhaps for the first time. And Lord, we thank you that this wonderful hospitality means that we are Adelphoi, brothers and sisters together, part of your family, an equality of status. Lord, all heirs together with your Son, the Lord Jesus. What a glory this is. What a wonderful privilege. We pray that you would drive these things deeply into our hearts so that we are full of joy, so that we appreciate it more, so that we are ready just to reach out to reflect that hospitality to others. Help us to do this well. Help us to do this in practical ways, both large and small. And again, O Lord, we pray that as we do this, you would come by the power of the Holy Spirit and just add your blessing, your anointing, and men and women, boys and girls, people from our own land, people from other lands, people who identify as being part of a different culture, people who would identify with British culture. Lord, whoever it is, help us to embody something different here. One family, one people, and growing in the knowledge and love of you. Speak to us, continue to speak to us, we pray. And help us both now and in the days ahead. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.